Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our online services. This week, we will be kicking off a new series that will lead us up to the Easter season, and we will be talking about Jesus' claim when he says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And what exactly did he mean when he said that? So this week, we will be exploring what did Jesus mean when he said he was the way, and next week will be the truth, and then on Easter Sunday, we'll talk about how Jesus is the life. And so as we start off this morning, I want to start off by telling you a little bit about a story about myself. But before I do that, I want to ask you one question to kick us off. Has there ever been something in your life that you believed in so much that you were willing to make changes or sacrifices to orient your life to pursue that thing that you really believed in? So for me, there was a season in my life where I had this real belief that I could have some kind of meaningful athletic career, specifically with the sport of soccer. And because I believed that and desired that, I began to make choices that reoriented my life around that. So, for one, it changed my diet. When I was preparing to go and play soccer at the college level, I gave up all kinds of sweets. So, baked goods, candy, pop, anything like that. Just gave it up entirely and focused on really good nutrition. I trained hard in the off season to prepare so I could be in the optimal physical condition, ready to play the game. And so that is, I wanted to tell you that because as we think about Jesus being the way this morning, I want us to think about this idea of what does it look like to orient yourself around something that you really believe in, where you'll go all in and you'll the way that you live your life will be dedicated based on your belief in that thing. Now, as you can tell, I didn't go on to be any kind of professional athlete or anything, but for a season, I oriented my life around doing that. And in fact, it's had implications in my life long term. I still don't really like eating sweet things because of that. And everyone thinks I have really great willpower, but actually it's not the case. I just have no desire to eat it. And I know that maybe sounds weird, but that's just my life. But enough about me. Let's get into it this week, talking about Jesus' claim that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, if we look at the statement, which is found in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says this. He says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Now, when we just read it, just the statement, it's easy to read it and go like, okay, Jesus, like, what are you getting at? It's hard to make out just from this one statement fully what Jesus is saying. Now, and the reason for that is that context matters. So when we isolate it to just that phrase, it's hard to really make a lot of sense of what Jesus is actually saying. And we know this, right? Like, we live in a culture now that loves to take like little sound bites and twist them so that people will, you know, it's that clickbait mentality, right? Ooh, they really said that, and everyone will click on it, and they'll make this whole story out of this. And really, if the quote would have been inserted back into its original context, it maybe wouldn't have been much of a story at all. We love to, like, take certain clips or sound bites and sensationalize them, rip them away from the context, where they actually made sense, and we do this. So context matters. We see that in our culture, that context actually makes a difference. Why the person said that and how they said it in relation to everything else they said makes a difference. So when we're specifically then talking about Scripture, context matters. And this morning, as we examine this text, I want us to think of two types of context. And the two are this: textual context and cultural context. So what we mean by textual context is what is going on in the passage around the statement that might give us some kind of clues as to what Jesus might be saying. And then cultural context, what was going on in the culture, what were basic understandings that people of that culture would have brought to that scenario, that situation when Jesus said this, that would have helped them understand what Jesus is saying, but might make us go, I don't really get it. Or maybe even worse, we might get a wrong impression of what Jesus might be saying based on our cultural context and the cultural mindset that we are bringing to it. So let's have as we go along through today, we're gonna examine the textual context and the cultural context of the text that will help us discover what is Jesus actually saying when he's saying, I am the way. So if we back it up, if we go actually to John chapter 14 and we back up to the beginning of the chapter, Jesus says this. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way I'm going, the way to the place I am going. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Okay, so Jesus is responding, when he says a statement, he's responding to Thomas' statement, Lord, we don't know the way. We don't know where you're going, and we don't know the way there. And in order to understand what Jesus is getting at here, we actually need to take a step back here and now examine what is the cultural context that Jesus is actually speaking into here when he says this whole idea. So first of all, we remember at the beginning of the text that Jesus says, he's going away to prepare a place for him, and that in his Father's house, there are many rooms, and he goes to prepare a place there for us so that we might be there with him. What is Jesus getting at? Well, if you examine Jewish marriage culture of the day, there was this cultural thing that they did around marriage where the groom, after he was engaged to the bride-to-be, the groom would say, okay, you wait for me. I'm going to go away to my Father's property, to my Father's home, and I am going to actually build a place for us to live there. It could be a room that was attached to the Father's house, or it could be a separate small home on the Father's property. But the groom then would actually go and make a property there, a place, a home, for him and his wife to be, to go and live. And then after he was finished, he would come back, they would get married, and then they would go to live on the Father's property in this home that he had built. And so when we understand that, Jesus is kind of making this metaphor that it's like he is like the groom, and the church, those that are in relationship with him, that Jesus is going to prepare a place where his Father is so that they can come and join and be with him there. And so often we have used this as a proof text that then Jesus is the way for us to get to heaven. And that definitely is, in the context, partly what Jesus is saying. But I believe as we dig in a little further, we're going to see that he's actually saying this and more. He's actually saying this and some more. So Jesus is saying the way, but that he is the way. And the interesting thing about this is that the way then to the Father is through relationship. I mean, think about this. Even in our culture, if you get married, the way that you get into a relationship with your in-laws is through your spouse. That's how you become family with them, is through your spouse. When you get married, you become family because they're your spouse's family. So it's through relationship with your spouse that you gain access to the family, that you become part of the family. And in a sense, this is what Jesus is saying. If you want to be part of the family of God, you do that through a relationship with Jesus. A relationship with the Father comes through a relationship with Jesus. And if you want to know the Father, it starts through knowing the Son. So then Jesus is a way to relationship with God. He's the way that we, as broken people, people who have fallen short in so many ways, he's the way that we can be in relationship with this perfect Father, this Father God, that we can be in relationship with Him. Jesus is the way. And so we see this. The way, then, is the person of Jesus. But Jesus' saying of He is the way would have meant more to the people that He was speaking to culturally. And we'll see textually, there's also hints to this in the passages surrounding this as well. Well, what do I mean by this? Well, in those days, most of the Jewish people, especially the men, would have memorized parts of or the entirety of the Old Testament scriptures. So when Jesus talks about the way, they would have been very familiar with the way because they had this picture, this idea of the way of God from the Old Testament scriptures. Let me point to a few to help us understand. If we go all the way back into Deuteronomy chapter 5, and we look at verses 32 and 33, it says this: "So be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you'll possess." Okay, so Deuteronomy talks about walking in the certain way of God and obeying His commandments. In 31:9, Deuteronomy 31:9, it says this: "So Moses wrote down this law and gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who carried the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord." Oh, 31:29, that's the problem. "So, for I know that after my death you are sure to become utterly corrupt and turn from the way I have commanded you." There's this idea of the way. Psalm, in Psalm chapter 27, verse 11, "Teach me your way, O Lord. Teach me in the straight path." All right, and then if we flip over to Isaiah, Isaiah 30, verse 21, it says this: "Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way. Walk in it.'" Or Isaiah 35:8, "And a highway will be there, and it will be called the way," and the way is actually capitalized, "the way of holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in the way." There's this idea of the way, and I find it very, very fascinating that the way is capitalized, which would insinuate it's some kind of name. The way, then, is the person. This is referring to Jesus. And the passage in Isaiah, where the voice will tell you the way to walk in, we're going to see in the passage in a minute, that's the Holy Spirit. Jesus says if He goes away, that the Holy Spirit will be given to us to be a guide that will speak truth into our lives and tell us the way that we should go. So we see that from the scriptures, they would have had this idea of the way of God, this way that we should live our lives. And into that, Jesus says, "I am the way." Jesus is saying, "I personify the way of God." If you want to see what the way of God looks like, look at me. If you want to see how you live like one should live in the kingdom of God, look at me. I am the way. I am the way. Jesus, then, is the way of God. Well, what kind of things is Jesus pointing to then when he says, I am the way? What does it mean then to walk in the way of Jesus? Well, if we go back to chapter 13, Jesus says this, just a few verses before our passage in John 13, 34. He says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So if we ask this question, what does it mean to be a follower of the way? One of the things that we're going to see then is it means that the way of Jesus is the way of love. The way of Jesus is the way of love. He teaches his disciples to love one another, and he tells them to love one another as I have loved you. Well, how did Jesus love them? Well, Jesus is about to go to the cross and literally lay down his life and die for them and rise again, defeating death, so that they can be in a relationship with God. The way of Jesus is the way of love, but we're not just talking about the emotion of love. We're talking about a love that takes action. We're talking about a sacrificial love that lays down its life for the sake of others. When we talk about that walking in the way of Jesus, we're talking about living out sacrificial love. How might Jesus be asking you to lay down your life for the sake of others? If we look at chapter 13, we also see that Jesus, in that chapter, washes his disciples' feet. So the way of Jesus is also a way of serving others. Because in that day, the only person who washed people's feet in a home was the lowliest of lowliest servants. And yet Jesus says to them, you want to be great in my kingdom? You have to serve others. The way of Jesus is about serving. It's about laying down our life. But the way of Jesus is also about surrender. It's about obedience to the will of God. We look at Jesus in the garden a few chapters later. Jesus in the garden. And what does it say about him? It says that he is praying and he's asking God desperately if this cup can be passed for him. The cup of going to the cross and dying. He's asking, if there's any other way for your will to be fulfilled than other than this, then please, God, please, Father, but not my will, but yours be done. Jesus, the way of Jesus is a way of surrender. In fact, Jesus says to his disciples, take up your cross and follow me. Be willing to surrender your life if you want to follow me. It's an act of submission to the will of God. It's an act of laying down your life so that you may take up the fullness of the life that Jesus offers you. But it's a way of surrender. It's a way of walking in obedience. Jesus, chapters 15 and 16, goes on to talk about how if you really love me, you'll obey my commands. It's about walking in obedience to the things Jesus taught and walking and living out the ways that Jesus modeled for us. So Jesus is the way to relationship with the Father, but Jesus is also the way, as in he has modeled for us, the way that we are to live our lives as members of the family of God, as people that desire to be part of his kingdom. So the question then that I want us to wrestle with, and it was a question that the early church had to wrestle with as well, is will you surrender to the way of Jesus? And people of the early church said yes, they were willing to surrender the way of Jesus, so much so that we see in Acts chapter 9, chapters 19, and chapters 24, we see that followers of Jesus are known as followers of the way. That's how they were known. Before they were ever known as Christians, they were known as followers of the way. They had submitted themselves to living out the way of Jesus. They had submitted themselves to being in relationship with the way and seeing that as the way to relationship with the Father. But they had also submitted themselves to walking in the way of Jesus. And they were known for caring for the poor. They were known for caring, showing mercy and justice and showing love and hospitality to one another. And so then the question is, for yourself, is will you surrender to the way of Jesus? And what does that specifically look like for you in your life? To surrender yourself to this way of Jesus, this way of sacrificial love for others, this way of laying down our lives. And even, possibly, suffering as Jesus did, as much as that often makes us uncomfortable. Are we willing to surrender to the way of Jesus? For me, that's my desire, is to surrender myself to the way of Jesus. But it's not easy. And that's why I'm so blessed and so grateful for that Jesus, later in this passage, he promises the Holy Spirit. He says, if I go away, the Holy Spirit will come and the Holy Spirit will indwell you, because we need the empowerment of the Spirit. We need the guidance of the Holy Spirit if we're to do this. Because the way of Jesus is not an easy way. The way of Jesus flies in the face of our culture of hyper-individualism. This idea of laying down your life for another, it's not natural for us. In fact, many of us, if we're honest, we don't really like to serve others. We would prefer to be served. We would prefer that others lay down their lives for us, that we get to come first. But Jesus says in his kingdom, the first will be last, and the last will be first. So I want you to spend some time this week. I want you to spend some time thinking and dwelling on this in the season leading up to Easter. Is will you surrender to the way of Jesus? Not just in saying, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Right? James chapter 2 talks about this idea of just kind of saying belief, that faith is just kind of this idea of belief. And James actually he says that actually faith without works is dead. What is he saying? He's not saying that works save you, but what he's saying is works are evidence that you have actually surrendered yourself to walking in the way of Jesus. That you've actually, it shows that you've actually surrendered yourself, as Jesus has called us to walk in the way of Jesus. You know, I talked at the beginning about how when I really believed in that I might have some kind of promising athletic career, I was willing to make sacrifices to pursue that because I really believed in it. And that's what we're saying here. If you really believe in Jesus, then it means you have to surrender your life. It's the only logical thing to do. If you really believe that he is who he says he is, that he really is the Son of God, that he really died and rose again, then logically we can conclude that the best thing to do is to follow him, because the creator of the earth, the one who actually lived on this earth and lived perfectly without falling short of God's perfect will, that maybe he knows how to live life better than us. It only makes sense then that we surrender our life, our will to him, and that we walk in the way of Jesus. And so this week, I really want you to wrestle with this. First of all, are you willing? Are you willing to say, I'm all in and fully surrender your life to Jesus. And then secondly, begin to examine, what does it look like for you to do that? What does it look like for you to begin to start laying down your life for others? What does it look like to walk in the way of love as Jesus did? What does that look like specifically for you in your context, in your workplace, in your home? What does it look like for you to surrender to the way of Jesus? So take some time to really dwell on that this week. Maybe spend some time praying, asking the Spirit, meditating on that question this week. And as you do so, I pray that Jesus would lead you deeper and into a more full surrender to His way. Let me pray for us. Jesus, I thank you that you have made a way for us to be in relationship with God. I thank you for the sacrifice that you made. And Jesus, I pray for my brothers and sisters, because I know that surrendering our lives to you and walking in the way that you have laid for us, out for us to live, is super challenging. And it is not without struggle. It is not without hardship. It is not without bumps along the way. So God, would you strengthen them? Would you fill us with your Spirit? May you give us the wisdom. May you give us the strength, the courage to continue to walk in the way. May you help give us the strength to ward off temptation, to steer ourselves to the left or to the right, off the path, off the way that you've laid out before us, God. But would you give us the strength to walk in the way? And may you help us to encourage one another as a community of faith, to encourage one another to walk in the way, God, to help each other to stay on the path of what it means to follow you. And so I pray for my brothers and sisters that they would have a resolute mind and heart to walk this path of following you, Jesus. I pray this in your mighty and precious name. Amen.